But it's a season for joy, isn't it? And we'll try and find joy wherever we can. And I think at Christmas we try and find joy in some of the weirdest places possible. If I would ask you to organise a party in which you would produce joy, I do not think that you would require everyone to turn up in Christmas jumpers that are painful to the eye. I do not think that you would arrange for your family to gather and have the annual fight, as my family does, about the brandy butter being smooth or crunchy. Perhaps, actually, it might be worse in your family, I don't know. But I don't think that you would arrange even for the kind of food that we eat at Christmas. I just don't see that there's any reason to have Brussels sprouts with anything. I don't know why we put ourselves through that bush tucker trial every year with those little green fart grenades. And then I wouldn't arrange this, but this might be one of the most joyful bits I find with Christmas, and I know one day it will be me. But there's that moment, isn't there, where you've snuffed all the food you can into your face and you're sort of in the sitting room and great Uncle Richard is in the corner and you're trying to work out whether that last noise was a snort or a Brussels sprout working its way out. That bit is pretty joyful, actually. We organise our parties all the time, don't we, to produce joy, and very few of them come out like Christmas. I was recently struck seeing an advert that Zappa running, a food delivery company, that just said, "Joy delivered" on it. You see that kind of all over the shop, don't you? Starbucks are saying, "Carry the merry." You've even got reindeer in Paternoster Square at the minute to kind of try and deliver the joy. But the insight of that "joy delivered" advert is that our larder of joy is often empty or not full. We don't have enough joy. It's predicated, that advert, on a longing that German psychologists have actually named. Unfortunately, I'm unable to pronounce the word because it looks like a sneeze. It's just a schnisch. But I can tell you what it means. A sense of mystical longing and yearning for happiness and fulfillment in the face of a reality which does not provide it. It's very palpable at the minute, isn't it, as we work from home in COVID. It's right to search for joy. A world without joy doesn't bear thinking about. And some of us will feel very short of joy at the minute, whether it's frustration at work, or a grief of missing someone at Christmas is a big one. Or maybe COVID has ruined your Christmas plans. I mean, COVID has made us aware, hasn't it, of how fickle our sources of joy really are. Maybe you're just weary and depressed after two agonising years, and your old sources of joy just aren't cutting the mustard anymore. We want something to rescue us from joylessness. Where's that source of joy we long for? I don't know what it is for you. At Christmas it's not really food, is it? It's actually relationship. That's what we kind of long for. Or maybe you're more cynical and actually it's just the knowledge that Christmas will be over soon as your source of joy. But I think it's mainly relationship that we go for. That's why we sing Chris Rea every year in the car on the way home, driving home for Christmas, my personal favourite. But I want to share from this reading an insight with you that the greatest joy comes from knowing Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. The greatest joy comes from knowing Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. And if you're thinking, don't tell me that this bloke's going to be telling us that Christianity and the church are a source of joy, you're not on your own for that. That cynicism. And I'm sorry if you've been in churches where a religiosity or abuse or has killed that joy and only caused grief. I hope at the end of this you will see how wrong that is. There is no room for that joyless religiousness or that hurt in this. Because actually I think you'll never taste a real joy without Jesus. So let me look at the Bible with me. Have page 6 open there. And let's read from verse 10 where it says in verse 10, "But the angel said to them," that's the shepherds, "do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." So great joy is delivered in this baby that's coming, in Jesus. And this joy is, it's not exactly clear what it is that causes the joy yet, is it? We've got to read on in verse 11. "Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." So do you see this great joy? This arrival causes great joy for all people. And that arrival is a person, but specifically a person that's named in a certain way. A saviour and a Lord. And the emphasis here is on the saviour. Now the Bible actually is filled with joy. Joy in relationships, we get that a lot. Joy in wine, joy in creation. Brussels sprouts don't get a look in, so I run that argument out every year, but they still appear on my plate. But here we see a very special joy in the Bible. It's described as great, and it's revealed as great, because we have these angels making this enormous song and dance. Suddenly a great company of heaven host appear in verse 13 singing. Now when I go away on a trip for work and I come back to my house, lovely, my daughter beautifully is happy to see me. When I come in the door, she'll do a little dance for joy. But what doesn't happen when I come in the door, she does a dance and then angels appear singing. Because the joy is not that big. It's not like the joy that we get here. And did you notice it's a joy that chases out fear? When the angels arrive, the first thing they say to the shepherds in verse 10 is, "Do not be afraid." And they go from fear, don't they, to praising God. By verse 20, the shepherds, having seen Jesus, return glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. They're singing, dancing like my daughter at the door. And the word here for joy in the Greek describes a specific kind of joy, a kind of joy in finding treasure. You know, like finding that amazing Christmas present under the tree, or opening the bonus letter, or discovering reports of someone's death are grossly exaggerated. That joy of being reunited with someone who you thought you weren't going to see again after COVID. Or the joy of greeting a loved friend. That's what we love at Christmas, isn't it? It's the warm feeling of someone who knows you and most of your flaws, but still loves you for who you are. You can tell that because they laugh at your jokes at Christmas, even though they know them so well, they've numbered them, like my wife, who actually just sort of, you know, number three. And it's like she's savouring a wine. It's that kind of joy. It's relational and it's sourced in a person, Jesus, as Lord and Saviour. It's all about relationship, this joy. It's what we're looking for, isn't it, at Christmas time. Now the question is, though, is why is Jesus being Lord and Saviour such a joy? Some see Jesus as a killjoy. Having him at your party would be like having your head teacher at your birthday party, if you're little. Or if you're organising the office Christmas party, Jesus would be the last person, probably, that you would organise to be the entertainer. But that's not what the angels see in Jesus, nor what the shepherds see in verse 20 as they return, glorifying and praising God. Nor the millions and billions of Christians down the ages who sung those carols we just sung. They all see great joy in Jesus being, was the word, a saviour, a rescuer. Not saving us from a conversation with great Aunt Betty at the Christmas lunch table. We learn actually in Matthew that Jesus saves his people from their sins. Now let me ask you this. I want you just to imagine for a minute that you're watching your Christmas film with God on the sofa, if that's not too blasphemous. And the film that you're watching is not Love Actually, but is actually a film of your life. Everything you thought, said, done. There'd be some great stuff there. But there'd be some things. The things you dodged doing. The things you searched on the internet. The total absence of God in that story. As you watch that film, how much joy is there in the room? If like me, you're probably like me, I don't want to imagine what God's face would be like. I'd be squirming with awkwardness. And it's right when the Bible says we are objects of God's wrath, his judgment and anger and hostility because of all our sin and our mess. That's what we deserve. But what does he give us instead? He gives us himself, God the Son, Jesus, as a saviour. That's what his name means. Jesus means God saves. To rescue us from that sin. Jesus takes our punishment on him when he dies on the cross, and instead he gives us himself, his perfect film. Now guess what it's like watching the film of Jesus' life with God? You don't have to, because in Zephaniah chapter 3 in the Old Testament, it tells us. Listen to this. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you. He will rejoice over you with singing. Jesus saves us from being objects of wrath in our sin to being a source of joy for God. In Jesus, God will take great delight in you. In Jesus, his love will no longer rebuke you and me, but instead he will rejoice over you with singing. Imagine God not tolerating you because you're just good enough. Imagine God not noticing you only occasionally because of your insignificance. Imagine a God who is no longer opposed to you and hostile to you because of your sin, but instead a God who sings over you, who behaves in a way that is normally reserved for 16-year-old love-struck boys who compose songs and sing it to the girlfriend. That's what God is like with you if you have Jesus and his forgiveness for your sins, his rescue. The creator of the universe singing with uncontainable joy over you and I. He's so utterly besotted. No wonder the angels and shepherds were excited. The only person who can make that happen has arrived in Jesus as Savior. I watched a film the other night where the hero, having fought off all sorts of demons, turns to a kid and she says to the kid, "No one's going to save you. You've got to save yourself." That was the burden of the whole film. I was shocked. What a joyless, crushing burden to have to carry. But that's what our world tells us. What a joy to have someone who rescues us from being objects of wrath to being objects of God's joy. But there's even more. Because he's not just a savior, he's the Messiah. That means God's long-promised king, to bring in God's kingdom that God has always said would be eternal life and blessing, a life of joy and wonder, a place where even death is defeated. Here is a leader who doesn't let us down with double standards or empty promises that we're coming to know so readily, aren't we? There's such cynicism everywhere about that in our leaders, but here is a leader who merits completely the opposite. He delivers what he promises by defeating death. In Acts chapter 2, Peter speaks to a crowd of his compatriots gathered in the city, and he says, look, the prophets, they spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that is Jesus the King, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are witnesses of it. Jesus is the only leader who delivers on the promise to defeat death and our sins by rising from the dead, and he calls us to follow him to that life forever. Now look, if there's one thing that sucks the joy out of Christmas, it's death. The empty chair at the table. The depressing conversation. But amazingly with Jesus, we know that death isn't the end of the possibility of joy. It's the beginning of unimaginable joy with him in heaven. And when we realize we've been saved from death and judgment, we feel joy. And we can feel that even in suffering. That becomes a rational and possible thing to do. Paul in 1 Corinthians, in his letters to the Corinthians, writes from prison and from a history of being plagued by sin, by being beaten for being a Christian, possessing nothing but the clothes he stands in. And he writes that he is sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, because he knows Jesus as his Savior and Lord, that resurrection promise. It's what Christians are known for. If you put Christians in prison, do you know what they do? They sing more often than not. That is an extraordinary joy, isn't it? That's a joy of a different order and scale to any joy that we can have delivered by Zap or any people or things we can find at Christmas. With Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, we have a great joy available to us wherever we are and whatever state we're in. And no ordinary joy, the greatest joy. Will you recognize and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior this Christmas for that great joy? I grew up in Australia on a sheep farm surrounded by men that fought in World War II. One of them was left behind on a Pacific island with a few other soldiers, cut off from the Australian army and supplies, and fought guerrilla warfare against the Japanese for 3 years. I can't imagine what celebrating Christmas would have been like for them. I can't imagine. He said that he used to have to nick 2 pairs of boots in order to make one boot that would fit. They lived off Japanese soldiers' rations. There must have been some joy there, but it must have been pretty starved. Now, one day, a destroyer appeared on the horizon, And they were all filled with dread because they thought this Japanese have arrived with reinforcements to root them out, and it meant death for them. They lived under the banner of death each day. But looking out, an Australian flag was run up over the destroyer's bridge. And they realized that it was rescue from death to a life back home. I can't imagine the kind of joy those guys must have felt. But I can tell you that the life of that man was utterly transformed by that rescue, by that new life. I saw how he lived each day, how he valued his relationships, how even in the ordinary breaking down of his body in old age, he still had a joy that stuck with him. And that is a little taste of the joy that we can have if we recognize, like the shepherds do in Jesus, here is our Lord and Savior that rescues us not just for the next 30 years, but forever, to being objects of joy to God. C.S. Lewis says, if you want to get warm, you must stand near the fire. If you want to be wet, you've got to get into the water. If you want joy, power, peace, eternal life, you must get close to or even into the things that has them. And he goes on to say, it is Jesus is where all those things are. And so the challenge for you and I this Christmas from the shepherds here is, will we hurry off and go and see this person of great joy and start a relationship with him as our Lord and Saviour? Let me pray for us as we close that. Lord God, we praise you and wonder at your goodness to us, Lord, that you would provide a Saviour that we might have life. Lord, that we might not have wrath, but we might have your joy singing over us as your people. Lord, that we might not have our own unrighteousness and our mess and our sin, but we might have God's perfect righteousness, his perfect life in Jesus. We praise you, Lord, and we wonder at your love for us and pray, Lord, you would impress upon us by your Spirit how much we are loved, how much we have in Jesus, that this Christmas we might sing, adore him, adore him, adore him. Amen.